Get all the children third grade on down. You can be dismissed, and they'll have evening service with the Ganaways tonight. So all the third grade on down, you are free to go. Free to go. Let's open the Word this evening to the book of Deuteronomy. To the book of Deuteronomy. I promise it is in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number one. Deuteronomy chapter number one. And when you found Deuteronomy chapter 1, find verse 19. And if you're physically able to, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse number 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I say unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us. And they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again. And said, it is good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Our Heavenly Father, we are asking for your help tonight. Lord God, reveal your word to us. Jesus, shine forth. And by your grace and by your mercy, may we be helped this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. The book of Deuteronomy, probably one of those books you get to in your Bible reading plan, you know, and you get to Genesis and you like Genesis. You know, it's a beautiful story. Lots of stories about creation and Joseph. You like that. Exodus, a very exciting book. You start reading in your Bible plan to get to Exodus, and a lot of amazing things are happening in the book of Exodus. And then all of a sudden, things just take a turn. And you get to the book of Numbers. And then you read all these genealogies. And you read the book of Leviticus. And you got law after law after law. And you come to the book of Deuteronomy and it's just bam, bam, bam. Just laws and laws and just you have no idea what's going on. Well, Deuteronomy is very helpful because it's as if Exodus or Genesis through Numbers has all been condensed into one book. And it's the end of Moses' writings. He's now aged. He's now rewriting some of these things, not because of a misprint or somebody lost the copy before. He is summarizing it and he's adding a little more of his own commentary to it. He's adding a little bit more of a detail to some of the stories that he has already told. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're familiar with this passage because we've heard it ever since we've been in Sunday school. There's that song, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Y'all remember that? Good. Well, okay, one person. It was really good. Okay, so you have the children of Israel. They have been brought up out of Egypt. God has raised up Moses, one of the greatest leaders that Israel would ever know. And Moses has went before Pharaoh and all the plagues of Egypt have taken place. And finally, Pharaoh lets them go. Perhaps up to 2 million people are leaving Egypt, and Moses is leading them all. And they come up to their very first obstacle. It's the Red Sea. They come up to this large body of water, and all of a sudden, Pharaoh's armies are coming after them, and they have no idea what to do. And all of a sudden, God shows up. And God uses Moses to part those waters, and the Bible says they walked across on dry land. And as soon as everybody was come out, the Egyptian army started going in, and God closed the waters. And God saved them, and a tremendous victory was given to the Israelites because of what God had done for them. They get into the wilderness, and things are already looking bad because now they're hungry. And some of the worst people in your life are hangry people. And can you imagine? For Easter, what if we did this for Easter? You know, we had the Easter hot breakfast, a lot of people came out. What if we had no food? What if everyone showed up, we had no food, and we were like, here's some cereal. No, we'd have some hangry people on our hands. Well, that's exactly what was happening with Israel. They started getting worried. They started complaining about provisions. And God promised them that every day there would be manna for them to collect, except on the seventh day. And they enjoyed that bread from heaven, and all of a sudden it just wasn't enough. And they said, we're still hungry for something else. And God said, I'm going to drop some quail out for you. And so God has provided them passage, and now God is providing them provision. And they get a little thirsty, and all of a sudden God says, Moses, go and take your rod and hit that rock. And out of that rock came forth wonderful, glorious, cool, drinkable water. And again and again and again, God is providing, God is protecting, God is doing everything for them because He's leading them somewhere. He's leading them back to the promised land. And when God gives a promise to us, He will fulfill it. Yes, we're going to have obstacles. Yes, there's going to be oppositions. But if God said that He is going to lead us to a place, you can bet your bottom dollar He is going to lead us to that place. God is leading this entire group under the leadership of Moses to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was the land that God gave to His people. And so they've traveled all the way down, following the Red Sea, and they come to this mount, Mount Sinai. And there for 40 days, Moses is up there receiving the commandments of God. He comes down, and then there's this whole debacle going on with this idol, and things were solved there. And now it was time to journey on. And on this journey, they had a little bit of a skirmish, and they were able to easily defeat them. And they've come up all the way to Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea is the last place that is standing between them and the Promised Land. They've already crossed the Red Sea. We've already seen manna from heaven. We've seen rock come out of a water, or water come out of a rock. Hey, it's hard up here sometimes. They've seen God provide again and again and again. They had a little bit of a skirmish, and they had those men of war whom God gave great strength to, and they had great victory over that. But now they've come up to something they've never experienced before. They've traveled all this way to Kadesh Barnea. And God says, this is it. Before you get into the promised land, this is the last group of people that you will have to defeat before you enter into the promised land. It's the people of the Amorites. But don't be discouraged. Even though you have no idea what's ahead, I already know. God knows the future. God knows what they're about to go into, what kind of battle it's going to look like. And He's already telling them, don't be discouraged. I've already given you the land. I've already given you the victory. All you have to do is rise up in faith and possess it. That was the word of the Lord. But there was a problem. The problem took place when the word of the Lord was not sufficient. Because they said, well, we want men to go out there and search it out. Oh yes, we've already seen the pillar of fire that led us by night and the cloud that led us by day. We've already seen the water come out of the rock. We've already seen the manna from heaven. We've seen the quail. We've already seen the Red Sea. We've already seen the commandments of God given to us. But we still want a man to give us a word. And the saying pleased Moses, and he listened to them, and they sent out 12 spies. These 12 spies will go up to the mountains where the Amorites would be, and they would look over, and when they saw the city, it was gorgeous. The land was fruitful. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was the most wonderful place they had ever seen. But there was a huge problem. There were giants in the land. Oh, this is nothing like they've ever seen before. This is a completely different obstacle. And for some reason, when life brings to us an obstacle that we've never faced before in our lives, discouragement says that the past doesn't matter. Discouragement will tell us that the things that God has done in the past are not sufficient for what is happening now. And that is a lie from the devil. The only way that I can pursue forward, the only way I can know that the Lord is going to help me in my present day is looking at what He has already done for me in the past and knowing and faith believing that His Word is sufficient. They were discouraged. Look at verse number 27. And ye murmured in your tents. And he said, because the Lord hated us, He hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. We've come all this way. We've seen God do great things just for us to end here. This is what they said in their tents. And by the way, we should be careful what we say in our tents. We should be very careful what kind of conversations we have in the house, because there are little ears. The Bible says in verse 28, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. They said the people is greater and taller than we. Victors, not victims. Victors, not victims. We were never meant as God's people to play the role of the victim. We were never intended to be placed on this earth as some just minority group to be easily looked over. We are children, we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We were never meant to play the role of the victim. God has given us the position of victor. But the problem is, we don't understand that when we've given our ears to the mouths of men instead of to the heart of God. God Almighty, the one who parted the Red Sea, the one who spoke out of the pillar of fire and out of the cloud, the one who gave them everything daily, providing for them. Their shoes never wore out. Their shirts never wore out. The same God said, I've given you this land. Possess it. Rise up and don't be discouraged. And all of a sudden they ignored all of that because the giants were big. The giants were scary. The giants was something that they've never seen before. We are living in a culture of giants. We are living in a culture in the United States where there are so many oppositional giants seemingly threatening to destroy our future. Standing between the promised land and Israel were these giants. How can we go into our future? How can we survive? How will we even endure when we have these giants that are right in front of us threatening the very life of our future? They were discouraged. We have many giants in this culture. We have the giant of government. Oh, look at the government. Look at this administration. How on earth can things get worse? Can you imagine the state of our society in 20 to 30 years? This giant, it's very oppressive. The giants of public schools. The things that they're wanting to teach and the things that they're trying to indoctrinate. Oh, these giants, they're big. These giants are scary. I know, God, you've done great things before. I know, God, you've provided for before. I know there's been revivals before. I know there's been great awakenings before. But this, man, this, we've never seen this before. I've heard it many, many times come from the lips of generations, even in my generation. Well, we never had to see anything like this before. I can't believe some of the things that y'all are facing these days. Back in our day, back in the good old days, these giants, they can discourage us. These giants were never meant to cause us to play the role of a victim. These giants are nothing compared to the almighty hand of God. I can have a bright future, not because I've just purpose in my mind. I'm going to do this and do this and do this. I can have a great future, not because I've got a plan and the finances and all this. No, I have a bright future because there is somebody who has already gone before me, and His name is Jesus Christ. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What makes the good shepherd the good shepherd is the fact that he has already walked where we will eventually walk. Victors, not victims. But for this particular generation, for this generational thought pattern, this group of men of war, this group that has witnessed the amazing things of God, they've come up against something, they've come up against these giants and they've never seen before, and because they've hearkened to the voice of men, they are now discouraged. And verse number 30, Deuteronomy 1 verse 30, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you. The Lord your God. This is not a figment of someone's imagination. This is the word of the Lord for the children of Israel. God has promised us the promised land. God has promised us a place that is far better than any America could ever conjure up. I am going someplace beyond where the clouds will have never stopped shining. I am going to a place where the light is the Son of God. I am going to heaven, and there is nothing in this world that can stop me. Why? Because I'm a good guy? Because I do all this? No! Because there's somebody who has already gone before me, and His name is Jesus Christ. And Moses is trying to remind these men of war, this generation that has witnessed the things of God. When you're looking at the future, when you're looking at what the possibility of opposition, when you're looking at some things in the future that look bleak, know this, that the Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you, according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went, until ye came to this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, by fire by night to show you the way, what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. Verse 34. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, verse number 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And verse number 39. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey. Of all the things that they could have said, this was the final straw. The last thing that Moses says as to the condemnation of their sin, of discouragement and their sin of faithlessness, is that Moses brings up this saying that they brought to Moses. Can you imagine? They've heard the reports of those 10 spies who said, the giants are too big. We're like grasshoppers to them. And everybody listened to the voice of men instead of obeying the voice of God. And they listened to those voices. They looked at those giants and said, we have no future. This is so hard. God has brought us here all the way to 2022 into this great big building and the wonderful things here. And all of a sudden, it's just going to end because the society and the culture and the government, this and all that. And it's just going downhill. They looked at these giants and said, no, we've seen God do great things, but this just might be it. This might be the end. And Moses says, of everything that you said that your little ones, your babies, your grandbabies would be the victims. They refocused their faithlessness. They refocused their fear and put it on the children. There's, even in my generation and generations before me, there's this idea that kids who are younger than us, a generation that is younger than us, will have it worse than what we did. There's this thing that some folks have really grown accustomed to saying, and it is that, Mo, I feel sorry for young people today. There's this saying that comes across when I look at the future and I have to fight it sometimes, I say, man, I'm looking at social media, man, I'm looking at Hollywood, and now Disney of all things. We got cancer at Disney Plus. It's horrible. And I can look at this generation, I'm like, oh man, guys, I feel sorry for you. It's going to be so hard. It's going to be so difficult. If you're in the public school, it's going to be the worst ever. Your future is dark and bleak. That's exactly what this generation was saying about their babies. They were victimizing the children. And there's something very special at the very center of God's heart, and it's children. The last thing that should ever proceed from my lips is a victimization of God's dear, precious children. He has not placed you in this generation, in this culture, to lead you as a victim. You are victors. There is a generation, even a generation before me. You may have been victimized. You are worthless. You have no talent. You have no skill. You are ugly. You are not smart. You have no opportunities. You have this deformity. You have this disability. You won't be able to do anything. And we have received victimization even upon ourselves. I want you to know that God is not the God of just watching over victims. He is able to take those who have been victimized and transform them into victors. They victimized these children. And everyone who is in my generation, we are busy making babies. We are producing another generation. We are producing a generation of victors. Do not fear bringing children into this culture. Don't fear that. I've heard people say, man, I wouldn't want children now. I wouldn't want to have children in this time and age. The God of yesterday is the God of today. The God of today is the God of tomorrow. Revelation tells us that He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. There is nothing too hard for God. God is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. This generation or this generational thought. Even my generation, even every one of us could have this generational thought that the future is too difficult. It's going to be too hard. And by the way, we're moving forward not for a political agenda. We're moving forward with the gospel. We're not moving forward to trying to get Disney to straighten up. That ain't happening. We're not moving forward to make sure all the public schools teach exactly what we want them to teach. No, we're moving forward with the gospel. Because we can change something politically for a little while, and that's all it will be for a little while. We had a great administration under Donald Trump. And now we don't have such a great one. Things can turn real quickly. But when we bring forth the Word of God, the gospel changes lives for eternity. We're moving forward with the gospel. We will not be discouraged, but what lies ahead, the opposition that may be before us may seem daunting. It may seem difficult, and it may seem like the giants, but I want you to know that we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. We are victors, not victims. Flip over to chapter number 2, and you need to see this. Deuteronomy chapter number 2, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the hosts, as the Lord sware unto them." There was a generation that looked at the future, rejecting the word of the Lord, listening to the voices of men, and never entered into the promise that God had waiting for them. For 38 years, they wandered around in the desert until all those that feared and all those that were of faithlessness perished in the wilderness. I want to possess everything that God has for me. I want to see relationships restored. I want to see souls saved. I want to see this world change for Jesus Christ. I want to see the power of God. I want to see the promises of God fulfilled. And this generation, they gave ear to men. And every one of us here, look, we need to be careful who we listen to. We spend, if we spend most of our time reading articles and listening to news, and we are, our behavior and our spirit is being turned in such a way that brings faithlessness into our hearts, we need to shut them out. God is true. Let every man be a liar. That generation, that thought needs to die. This generational thought that says the future is dark and bleak and it's going to be difficult for you, that needs to die. The thought idea that I feel sorry for these kids and I feel sorry for the younger generation, I'm giving up hope for this generation, and the thought processes of victimizing these children, it needs to die in the wilderness. And that's exactly what had happened. Look at verse number 15. "For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou art to pass through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day." Go all the way to verse 31 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land." Similar command to what we read in chapter 1. "I've already given you this land. Rise up and possess it." That was with the giants of the Amorites. This is with another battle, the king of Sihon, the land of Sihon. And God gives the same command to rise up and possess it. But there's an issue now. The men of war are dead. Those group of men that knew the sword, that knew this, had the skills and had the understanding to fight and to really make a difference, they're all dead. Who's left? It's the generation that they victimized. It's their children. It's their little ones. It's their babies that have grown up. It's those little boys that they feared for their future. Once they were given victimization, now God is going to give them the sword to fight. They were victimized by one generation, but under the leadership of God, they will become victors. Look at verse number 33. Verse number 32. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us. And we smote him and his sons and all his people. They had a tremendous victory. They were ready to move forward into the promised land. They weren't able to go the route that was originally given by God because of the faithless generation, the faithlessness of one generation. But because there was a group of people who decided that they were going to follow God, because there was a generation of people who decided that yes, they were victimized by one, but we're not going to let that title remain on us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as long as we follow Him, He will go before us. He will bring us into a victory when others have brought us into victimization. We are victors, not victims. I want you to look over in closing in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. In Romans 8:28, the Word of God says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, then the culture will be against us. If God be for us, then the government might be against us. If God be for us, then society might be against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And by the way, those are the things that they were facing then, and those will be the things that we may be facing now, and those will be the things that we will be facing later. But let's continue, because the word of the Lord is the greatest word that we shall hear tonight. It is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long; we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded," Paul is saying, "I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I've seen some things that God has brought me through. I was in the miry clay, and He set my feet on the rock to stay. I was in drugs, but He has brought me out. I was in sin, but He has brought me out. I was headed for hell, but He has brought me out. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And all God's people say, Amen. What God has promised us is not a role of victims. We are not the minority. We are more than conquerors. We are not victims. We are victors through Jesus Christ. If there's anything that the Word of God can do for us tonight, it's to wake up in the morning and know that He has already gone before me. He has already made my way plain. And the steps of a good man will be ordered of the Lord. This message is convicting for me. I have three beautiful girls. Jules, Lila, and Ella. I look at them. I look at the news. And I'm like, I don't know. Might be a little rough. Might be a little hard for them. They're going to struggle. They're going to do this. No. I shall not prophesy that over my babies. I will say this to my girls. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me just tell you what the Lord has done for me and your mom. Let me show you what God has done for us. And what He has done for us in the past, He can do for you now. Don't look at the giants and think it's all over. Don't look at what's ahead in the future. Don't look at what's happening in the White House and just give up. Don't look at what's happening geopolitically around the world and just throw your hands up and say, this must be it. This generation of young people, you're going to struggle and suffer. No, let that thought die and let Christ be glorified. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Our Heavenly Father, we surrender this message to You. Speak to our hearts, Father. God, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, we need it. Lord, we need this. I know I needed it. I want to be filled with boldness. I want to be filled with faith. I want to be encouraged, God, but it can't come from my own lips. It must come from You. Lord, I pray that if there is somebody here who has that generational thought that the future is bleak and they've given up hope for the younger generation, God in heaven, I pray that that would die tonight and they would live to trust in You. You are the God of the future. You are the God of the present. You are the God of the past. You have given us so much in Your Word tonight. You have given us so many promises. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And with us whoever we go, there You will be. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Well, I want to give You this opportunity tonight to come before Christ and ask for forgiveness of your fear and ask God for renewed faith for the future. This isn't a message directly just to the older generation. This is a message for every generation here tonight. Even teenagers, they can sometimes grow weary of what's happening in the world. But may they know the God of heaven can do great and mighty things which we don't even know of yet. Lord, I pray You'll work in this invitation time. May decisions be made to glorify and honor You. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's all stand together. Hymn number 485.